Okay, get this. You could actually lose a chunk of your property, like a big part of it, because of, wait for it, a tree line.
A tree
Well,
line.
yeah, tree line. Seems crazy,
It
right?
does sound a bit wild.
But it happened. This Virginia Supreme Court case, Hollander v. World Mission Church, this case is a huge wake-up call for anybody who owns land, especially if you haven't, like, had a recent survey.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. This case really did shake things up in the world of property law, especially when we're talking about boundary disputes and, this whole concept of adverse possession.
Yeah, adverse possession. So for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, can you break down, like, what exactly is adverse possession?
Sure. Adverse possession is, well, it's basically a legal way for someone to claim ownership of land that they don't actually have the deed to.
Whoa. So you're telling me, like, legally, someone can just take my land?
It's not quite that simple, but yeah, the idea is that if they use the land openly and continuously for a certain amount of time, they can actually gain legal ownership.
That's wild.
It is. And in Virginia, that certain amount of time is a solid 15 years.
15 years.
15 years. And in this Hollander case, the church, they had the deed. There was no question about that. But Miss Hollander and the previous owners of her property had been taking care of this strip of the church's land for way more than 15 years, like all the way up to this tree line. They mowed it, they had a garden, they basically treated it as part of their own backyard.
So it's like they were living out their own version of, good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
But like with a potentially messy legal twist, huh?
Absolutely. And this case really digs into that whole good fences idea because the trial court, they actually sided with the church at first.
Really?
Yeah, their reasoning was because the homeowners were mistaken about where the actual boundary was, their possession of the land wasn't hostile enough to count as adverse possession. So the court was basically saying because they didn't mean to take the land, it doesn't count as stealing. Well, yeah, that's the basic idea. But hold on. Because the Virginia Supreme Court, they came in and said, "Hold up, not so fast." They actually overturned that decision.
They did.
Yeah. Their argument was that it doesn't matter if you are mistaken about the boundary. What matters is how you acted, what you did on that land.
Oh, interesting. So the homeowners' actions, the mowing, the gardening,
Yeah.
that spoke louder than their mistaken belief.
Exactly. And this is where things get, well, really interesting. The Supreme Court, they emphasize this thing called the practical test, meaning they looked at whether the homeowners intended to claim the land, at least up to that boundary marked by the trees,
Right.
and they clearly did. I mean, for more than 15 years.
Wow. That's incredible. So this is a huge wake-up call for anyone who owns land. It means that even a friendly misunderstanding with your neighbor about, like, a few feet of property, that could have some really serious consequences.
Oh, absolutely, especially if you're not paying attention. And, to make things even a bit more complicated, Virginia law doesn't require something called good faith for adverse possession.
Wait, back up. What's good faith?
So, in a lot of states, to claim adverse possession, you have to prove that you genuinely believe that the land was yours, but not in Virginia. The court basically said, good faith, not so important. They really shifted the whole focus away from what you thought and onto what you actually did on the land.
So Miss Hollander, tending to her garden, that physical action, that mattered more than whether or not she truly believed she owned that strip of land.
You got it.
So picture this. You have a neighbor who's, maybe they've been slowly extending their garden onto your property over the years. Maybe they're super friendly and you don't want to cause a fuss. But in Virginia, that could come back to bite you big time, like years down the line.
Exactly. And this case really changes how we think about property lines. It's not just about what a piece of paper, a deed says anymore. It's about how the land is actually being used.
That is a big shift. And there's actually this similar case, Cheney v. Haynes, where this whole idea of like physical claim over a deed was also a key factor. But there's a bit of a twist in Hollander, right?
Right. The court didn't just like hand the disputed land over to Ms. Hollander. They actually sent the case back to the lower court. It's called a remand.
Oh, so it's like hitting the pause button on the case.
Yeah, perfect analogy. The church still had a chance to prove where the real boundary line was, but they couldn't just rely on their deed anymore. It was going to be a whole new battle.
Oh man, the plot thickens. We've got mistaken boundaries, this whole good faith curveball, and now a whole new legal battle is brewing. What happened next?
Well, with this remand, yeah, the church, they really had to like roll up their sleeves and prove their case.
So no more resting on the laurels of that deed. They had to actually show, like, without a doubt, where that boundary line really was.
Exactly. Think of it like this. You know, you can't just say, this is mine. You have to back it up.
With evidence.
Exactly. Solid evidence.
I bet they had to, like, dig through a ton of old records, maybe pull out some dusty old maps or surveyor notes or something.
You're on the right track. They could have used all sorts of things. Yeah. Old surveys, property descriptions, even testimony from people who lived in the area for ages, people who, like, knew the history of those boundaries, you know?
Makes me think of all those old property disputes you see in, like, movies, you know, folks arguing over fence lines and ancient maps and all that.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not just movie drama. Those kinds of disputes, they happen all the time. In this case, it really highlights why having a recent survey is so important.
Seriously, folks, if you own land and you haven't had a survey done recently, put it on your to-do list, like ASAP. It could save you a whole lot of headache later on.
Couldn't agree more. Now let's think about it from Ms. Hollander's perspective for a second, you know? She's been tending this piece of land for years, probably put a lot of, you know, love and care into it, and suddenly the ownership is in question.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. Like having that rug pulled out from under you.
Yeah.
All that time and effort, you know, and potentially for nothing.
Exactly. And it brings up all these tricky questions, you know, like who's responsible for all the landscaping that's been done? What about those trees that are marking the supposed boundary? It gets messy, and it gets messy fast.
Yeah. This case isn't just about a strip of land, right? It's about all these real-life consequences and how the law tries to balance everyone's rights, I guess.
It is. It's a perfect example of how property law, you know, it intersects with everyday life. And one of the key takeaways here, I think, is this whole concept of notice.
Notice, like a legal heads up.
Well, it's more about, you know, making it clear to the world, you know, to everyone, where your property lines actually are. It's not enough to just have a deed, you know, sitting in a file somewhere. You have to actively show those boundaries. And that's where things like fences, hedges, even a well-maintained tree line, you know, those become really important.
So it's almost like those physical markers are saying, hey, this is where my property starts and yours ends, you know?
You got it. And that's why this whole case is so fascinating, right? The church, they may have had the official deed, but because they weren't actively marking that boundary or paying attention to it, they could actually end up losing a piece of their property.
It's like that old saying, possession is 9/10 of the law, but like flipped on its head, you know.
It really is. But there's another layer to this that we haven't really touched on yet. The Virginia Supreme Court's decision to like throw out that whole good faith idea for adverse possession, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that part really caught my attention. Most people would probably assume that if you genuinely thought the land was yours, you're acting in, like, good faith, right?
You'd think so. But the Virginia Supreme Court basically said, good faith, not so important here. They shifted the whole focus away from what you thought and onto what you actually did on the land.
So, Ms. Hollander tending her garden, that physical action, that mattered more than whether or not she truly believed she owned that strip of land.
You nailed it. And that's where we get into some really interesting legal territory. You know, it's not just about accidentally mowing a few feet into your neighbor's yard anymore. To claim adverse possession, your actions, they have to be open, continuous, exclusive, and done with a real claim of ownership.
So it's got to be more than a casual, oops, I went a little too far kind of situation.
Exactly. The Virginia Supreme Court is basically saying intent. In the sense of truly believing you have the legal right to the land, it's not as important as your actual physical actions on that property.
Wow, that's a big takeaway here, folks. Get those boundaries sorted out. Talk to your neighbors. Get that survey done. And don't let any little encroachment slide.
Because once that 15-year clock starts ticking, proving you were acting in good faith, it might not be enough to save your property.
So we've talked about how Virginia doesn't require good faith for adverse possession. But what does that actually mean for, like, you know, someone like me or our listeners?
Good question. It's a bit like this. Let's say you've been parking your car on a patch of grass, like right next to your driveway for years. You always thought it was part of your property.
Right.
But then turns out it's actually your neighbor's land.
Oh, no. That's like my worst nightmare. I'm a terrible parallel parker.
Exactly. But here's the thing, right? In a lot of states, you could argue, hey, I was acting in good faith. I genuinely believed this was my land.
Right, right.
But in Virginia, that argument, it might not hold up in court.
Really? So even if I didn't mean any harm, my actions parking there every day for 15 years, That could actually give me a legal claim to that land.
Precisely. That's the whole point the Virginia Supreme Court is making. They're saying, look, we're not focused on what you thought. We're focused on what you did. It really comes down to those open, continuous actions, those actions that show you were claiming ownership of that land.
So it's almost like they're saying ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And, you know, this whole idea, it really highlights how important clear communication is and boundary awareness, you know, being aware of those boundaries.
You know, it's funny. You'd think in this day and age, with GPS and all this technology, property lines would be, like, crystal clear.
Right.
But it seems like they're actually more contested than ever.
You're absolutely right. And that's why cases like Hollander, they're so important. They remind us that property law, it's not just about dusty old deeds. It's about how we live, how we interact with our neighbors, and how we make sure everyone's rights are respected.
So, if there was one thing our listeners should take away from all of this, like one key thing, what would it be?
Be proactive. Don't wait until there's a dispute to start thinking about property boundaries. Talk to your neighbors, get a survey done, make sure everyone's on the same page.
That's great advice. And for anyone who thought they were just being friendly by letting things slide with their neighbors, well, Hollander v. World Mission Church, that's a pretty clear wake-up call.
It is. This case really shows just how much those seemingly small actions, like, you know, mowing a few extra feet of grass or parking your car in the same spot for years, those can have some pretty big legal consequences.
So check your deeds, folks, and get those surveys done. Because in the world of property law, sometimes what you don't know can really hurt you.
Well said. And it's not just about avoiding disputes, right? It's about being a responsible property owner. It's about understanding how your actions can impact your rights and your neighbor's rights.
This has been such a fascinating deep dive into the world of adverse possession, mistaken boundaries, and all the surprises that can come with owning land. Thanks for joining us and, you know, really breaking all this down.
My pleasure. It's always interesting to see how these legal principles, you know, how they actually play out in real life situations.
And to our listeners, remember, a little attention to those property lines can go a long way. Until next time, happy property owning.